Let's pray. Lord, open our minds and hearts to hear what you're saying to us through your word. Give us understanding. Inspire us to live out the things you say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week, we're starting a series looking at what the gospel has to offer to people in all sorts of different circumstances, setting out the good news of Jesus for them. We're illustrating the series by people from the Bible who had personal encounters with Jesus. You received one of these invitations a couple of weeks ago. Please do use them and pass them on to people who might be interested in coming to one or all of the Sundays. There are plenty more on the welcome desks if you didn't get one. But as a lead up to that series, we've been looking at what our faith inspires in us. We've been looking at it as a faith relevant to today, a faith that's distinctive, a faith that can speak in the workplace, a faith that's good news for the poor, a faith that inspires care for our community. And now we're up to a faith that inspires and celebrates creativity. Now, I know that many of you are already saying to yourself that you're not creative. That came out in the earlier talk. You can't draw, you can't sing, you can't make things. But I'm sure you know that Paul often said that we all had gifts and that there were many of them. And here's one of those passages, which you can find on page 1139 in your pew Bibles. Page 1139, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, reading from verse 4. Let us listen to the word of God. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Amen. In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts. Note that it doesn't say that some of us have gifts and some don't. It says we have different gifts. Some of them might seem very mundane. But one thing I notice from that passage is that we are expected to use them. Not just half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly. A bit like a rugby referee seeing the ball coming out of a scrum and shouting, "Use it!" Whatever gift we have, we should use it to the very best of our ability. Our faith should inspire us to do that. And we do it to glorify God. He gave us the gift in the first place. But we also do it for the other people in God's church, for Christ's body, so that it's healthy, so that it can do its work. Every single part of the body has a part to play. Without it operating well, the whole body is diminished, disabled. It can't reach out to other people with the good news of Jesus. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with God's instructions on the building of the tabernacle, he said, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts. And he has given both him and Oholiab the ability to teach others." But everybody with skills was asked to come along and help. And everybody else had a chance to contribute with money or with different offerings. And they had to be stopped in the end because they brought far too much. Everybody did their best, inspired by the fact that God had saved them from slavery in Egypt. And God's gifts of every kind were used for his glory. It's worth noting that God chose the key players in this story. He provides people with certain gifts when they're needed. Right now, Christianity here in the West is in decline. And there are so many people out there who need to know about God's love. So we need to take the call to use our gifts to heart. And we need to pray for creativity. I'm convinced that the extraordinary wave of modern songwriting for the church over the past 40, 50 years has come as part of God's lead in the church's need to do something different, to reach out to people. He has provided these very talented people. But there are many other gifts needed and available to back this up. I can almost hear what some of you are thinking. Yes, yes, we've heard this all before, but creativity is definitely not my thing. But as I said earlier, you know, you can't get away with that. God made people in his image. God, the great creator. We're in his likeness. This is not physical, this is our inmost being. We are made by God, like him, to want to create and do and make things and do things. In my dictionary, it says that creativity is showing imagination as well as routine skill. God's creation shouts out to us that God's creativity and imagination are absolutely boundless. But it doesn't stop there. We know that God is love, and that because of his love for the world, he sent Jesus to save it. So his work of creation goes on. He continues to make things new, to recreate, and we are part of this. We are his new creation in Christ. This is part of the faith that inspires us. So let's read our second Bible passage, which is on page 1217 in the Pew Bibles. First letter of Peter, chapter 1, reading from verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. God gives us new birth into a living hope in Jesus. He gives us joy which lasts through good times and through bad times, because we know the everlasting love of God and his grace shown in Jesus. That gives us joy even when we might feel in the depths of despair. There's a great old hymn. It goes, "No storm can shake my inmost calm while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?" But that last song we sang before I started to speak, "Blessed Be Your Name," also says that we want to give glory to God whether times are good or whether they're bad. We can still say, "Blessed be your name." This is the joy that we have because we know how much God loves us and what he's done for us. That inexpressible and glorious joy that Peter talks about does find expression in creativity. It comes out in paintings and music and buildings and poetry and all sorts of art, which can be extraordinary. And they speak to everybody who sees them, including us, of the glory of God. We've all been in churches or cathedrals which lift our eyes and our hearts to God. Or even ruins, abbey ruins, with a wonderful atmosphere of worship. We've all seen sculptures and artworks which speak to us in special ways. I love Vermeer's painting, "Jesus in the House of Martha and Mary," and I have a print of it standing up at home. But you'll each have your own favorite. There's music which is spine tingling, and poems which speak right to our inmost being of God. I know that some of you will remain skeptical about what this means for you. You might think you have gifts, but you can't produce anything brilliant. Or you might think you have gifts, but they're not creative gifts. Or you might think, well, you just aren't able to do very much. But today's theme is about our faith inspiring and celebrating creativity. And let's think about that celebrating first. Do we really allow the creativity which others have to speak to our souls, to point us to God? Do we allow ourselves to be transported by wonderful music? Do we use these images as a focus for our prayers? Do we use poetry, even the Psalms, which are wonderful poems, as part of our worship? Do we use these things to draw us closer to God? In our own church, we have some lovely artworks on the walls, made by people in our congregation using their creative gifts and their imagination to lift our hearts. Our musicians use their gifts to help us to praise God. They use their imagination in interpreting the feeling of the words. And the church building itself looks quite breathtaking at sunset with the floodlighting just taking effect. Where it is, what it looks like, are all down to people's creative gifts and imagination. Do we really celebrate that? If we're open to it, if we really do appreciate it, then we'll find it opens new doors to us in our faith. How can we be inspired to find some creativity ourselves? There will only be one or two in each generation who really produce the jaw-dropping art or music. But just like Moses building the tabernacle, there's room for all and everybody's gifts. Room for people with artistic skills. Room for people with other sorts of skills. Room for people who can't offer skills particularly, but who have time to pray, using their imagination to pray for the big things. And room for the encouragers. Did you notice that was one of the gifts Paul mentioned? Encouragement. Encouragement keeps other people's skills flowing. People need to know that they are appreciated for what they are producing. There's nothing better than words of encouragement. And words of encouragement include things like, "I'll pray for you." Our creativity means using our gifts, whatever they are, to the best of our ability and using them with imagination so that we can join with God in renewing and recreating the earth. There are plenty of opportunities within the church and within the community to use our gifts. And we have creative people who can give us a lead. I think we have a wonderful example of creativity in our cafe manager, Norma. Now, she obviously has the ability to produce food and to organize a cafe. But she's using her God-given imagination to make that cafe into a place which helps to bring the people of the church together. It draws in people from the community. And it even gives work to people who are looking for work experience who might find difficulty finding that anywhere else. Norma is glorifying God in running that cafe the way she does. And she's looking for more volunteers, which is a wonderful opportunity for some of us, perhaps, to join in that creative work, to be part of it. Our Link Church at Gracemount is another example of creativity. They've worked out their vision for the next 3 years, their 2020 vision, reinstating a missional presence in the heart of Gracemount. They've created a worship space in Gracemount Primary School. They are desperately needing encouragement. if you don't have much time apart from Sunday mornings, could you offer support and encouragement by going down to Gracemount Primary School, say, once a month? Just to encourage these people in their creative work of setting up that church. It would be a real boost to their endeavours. And you'd be part of the work towards their vision, part of the creative process. In Mark's gospel, we hear Jesus say this: "No one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins." You see, the goatskin that people used to hold wine when it was new was really soft and flexible. If it had been used and it dried out, it was brittle and it would just burst. And Jesus had come to inaugurate God's kingdom on earth. He was looking for people who were open to new ideas, open to doing things in different ways. And he knew that if people were rigid in their ways, they'd never accept the kingdom, because it was radical, it was new. And the inflexibility of the Pharisees and the teachers made Jesus' ministry very difficult. He was looking for people open to creativity, open to using their imagination to see a new way forward. Not people rigid, unwilling to think out of the box. When we deny our ability to be creative, we are diminishing the work of God's Spirit in us. When we fail to open our eyes and ears to opportunities for using the gifts we have, we slow down the progress of God's kingdom here on earth. And when we fail to celebrate the creativity of others, we're failing to see God's work in the world. And when we're not open to new ideas and new ways of doing things, we're being brittle like old wineskins. Yet Jesus died for us to give us a new start. We are his new creation. We have a living hope. Does that not inspire us to take a fresh look at what we can do with God's help? Let's pray. Lord God, Creator and Saviour of the world, we thank you for the gifts you have given us and for the creative abilities you give to some which can inspire and lift our hearts. Forgive us when we fail to use our gifts. Help us to identify them. Inspire us to use them better and more creatively with the imagination we have from you to build your kingdom here on earth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.